Man, some people just love to give up. They're just like, life is over. This gave me purpose. This gave me meaning. This was my hope, and now it's gone, and I don't have anything. But sometimes when tragedy strikes in people's lives, it actually impacts them to the point that they begin to make their life's work to try and make a difference in other people's lives. There was a pastor that I knew. He had his son had gotten into some trouble, and he had been sentenced to 20 years in prison. Now, this was in North Carolina. In North Carolina, you serve your full term. You don't get out for good behavior. You don't get out for anything. If you serve in North Carolina, you serve the entire term, regardless of how good you are. So he had to serve all 20 years. It impacted that pastor so much that he resigned from the ministry. But you don't really resign from the ministry. You just go into a new ministry. And it became very special to him, and he started a 20-year ministry to the prisons. And throughout his prison ministry, he said that he had saw more people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in that time than he did as a pastor. Is that awesome? Man, that's just, I mean, there's so many things, that tragedies that strike in people's lives, that it becomes important for them to go and try to make a difference in other people's lives. I know my father was a drunk and an alcoholic, and I pray for people that are drunks and alcoholics. And man, I'm telling you, I am here. I will do whatever I can to help you, because that's something very special and near and dear to my heart. And so send them to me. I'll do everything I can, and if I can't help them, I know where to send them. There was a woman, this slide here, next one, Devlin, very beautiful girl. That woman's name is Valerie Gatto. She's from Pennsylvania. She was Miss Pennsylvania 2014. She is the product of rape. Her mother was raped by a serial rapist. And the first thing out of everybody's mouth was, go have an abortion because it's okay because you were raped. Now, this is the beauty of it. She said, no, I'm not going to have this child because the child is part mine. And I'm not going to give up my child. So the mother kept the child. And as Valerie grew up, she knew that her dad was a serial rapist. But here's the beauty. She wanted to be proactive in other women's lives, to show them, to train them, to help them be aware of their surroundings for potential rape. And she got so much joy when those ladies would tell her, what you are telling us and helping us with is changing our lives. And so she used her platform as Miss Pennsylvania to teach others about the right to life. Amen? And so through that right to life, she believed that children should have the right to life even conceived in rape. Amen? I love it how people say, oh, that's just a clump of cells. Well, guess what you are? You're just a clump of cells. There's a little bigger than those kids in the... Anyway, she said this. I love this. When she was Miss Pennsylvania, she publicly said, I believe that God put me here for a reason. To inspire people, to encourage them, to give them hope that anything is possible and you can't let your circumstances define you. Amen? Amen. Don't let life's circumstances define who you are. Let Jesus Christ do that. Look, I don't know if you ever looked up the missionary Adoniram Judson. He was a big one, man. He came out of Massachusetts, left, went to the country of Burma, Myanmar people. He had a heart for those people. And so 14 years after he left Massachusetts, you know what he had to show for it? He had the grave of his wife and the grave of all his children. And he was left there alone. And people had said, hey, well, just give up, man. Just go back to the United States and just live out the rest of your life. But he was faithful to the end. He never gave up. And he never gave up on the people of Burma, because that's the reason that he went there. He loved those people of Burma. He translated the Bible into the Burmese language. He didn't have his wife, didn't have his children, but he kept going. And some people just say, oh, you know, just ask the Lord to call you home. It's like Job's wife. Remember Job's wife? Just curse the Lord and die. You've lost everything. Might as well just go home too. You have no hope. But he didn't. He kept going because those people in Burma were so very near and dear to him. Lost people should be very near and dear to us. Listen, we have purpose and meaning and hope in this life. And it's Jesus Christ. And that same Jesus gives hope to everybody. That should be our passion. Listen, you may not have a family member who's a drunk or an alcoholic. You may not have been conceived in rape. But listen, every single person in this room should have the same desire. And that's to see lost people come to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want you to take next week very seriously. Invite everybody that you can. The Apostle Paul was in the same dilemma that Adoniram of Judson was. He wanted to be with the Lord Jesus, which was far better. He was like, I just want to go home and be with Christ. But he also had a heart for lost people. And he wanted to continue building and training the church. And the problem is not when you're young and you're doing ministry and you're on fire for God and you're seeing children saved and people saved and older adults get saved and you're seeing God moving in your life as you're growing in knowledge and grace of Him. And it's not the fact that you're influencing other people in their lives. That's not the dilemma. The dilemma becomes when it's later in your years. Because most of the fulfillment of your ministry is already in the past. And you've lived so long that you're like, well, you know, my life's work is over. I'm getting old, man. Not me. I'm not getting old. I'm just. But when they get up there, they're just like, you know what? I've done that. I've taught Sunday school for 30 years. I've taught nursery for, oh, geez, did it 40 years. I've done this for this. I've already done that. I've done there, I've been that, I've saw those kids. Those kids are grown up now. It's somebody else's turn. Can I tell you something? I want you to get this. Sit there and be quiet and pay attention and sit up and don't be sleeping. If you get nothing of this, get this right here this morning. There is no retirement in ministry. Hello? That's not just for me. I mean, yeah, I point the finger at you. I got three back at me, but I'm giving you all 10. And a couple thumbs, all 8 and a couple thumbs. Here's the idea. There is absolutely no retirement in ministry whatsoever. Until the Lord Jesus comes to call us home or comes and gets us, you still have breath in your mouth, you have a ministry. Amen? Amen. I think people forget that so much. In Psalm chapter 92, verse 14, the psalmist says this, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and, well, they're full of something, I'd say. But I just go back to the first part. Doesn't matter what you're full of, you should still bear fruit in old age. I don't care how old you get. Moses was 120. How old are you? Don't care. You're not as old as he was. Methuselah was 969. How old are you? Okay, you're still a young pup. I get that all the time. Or you're just a young pup. Well, not anymore, because everybody's like, oh, now you're getting old. Here's the idea. If you have been trained by Jesus, if you have been discipled, if you have been mentored, you are qualified, you are skilled, and the older you get, the more experience you have to come alongside and assist the church to help build up the kingdom. Don't get caught in the American dream gospel. The American dream gospel says, well, you're going to come in, you're going to do your job. Once it's done, then you retire. Take ease, live it up, man. You got it made. God said, I stepped over the ivory palaces of heaven. I'm God. I created the universe and spoke it into existence. And when I saved you, you become my servant until I call you home or come and get you. Serve me. The Apostle Peter, when he was on the beach talking to John, he's like, hey, Jesus, what about John over here? What are you going to have him do? What's he going to do? What do you want him to do? And Jesus looked at Peter and said, if I have him right here on this beach till I come back, what's that to you? Serve me. Don't worry about what everybody's doing. You serve Jesus. Amen? Amen. This was the life of Paul. He loved it when people served Jesus. He loved it when Jesus was preached. He loved everything. It didn't matter. It was all about Jesus to him. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. And yes, I will rejoice. If you're preaching Jesus, praise God. You're preaching Jesus because somebody else won't, praise God. Paul even said, I will praise the name of Jesus if you're preaching Jesus trying to get rich off of it. Guess what? Jesus is still being preached, amen? You'll stand and give an account to God and you'll have to reap what you sow, but at least Jesus is being preached. That's the most important thing. Paul said, man, I know everything is going to work out because of your prayers, the help of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, I know that Jesus is going to get glory by everything that I do in my body. And then in verse 21, he says this. He says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we said this last week. Let me tell you something, church. If you put any other word in there but Christ, everything is going to be a loss. Christ is the only one to live for that death gives you gain. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get into our context this morning, verse 22 through 26. We may live a long life here on this earth, and sometimes it may be out without your loved ones. Sometimes it may be without money. Sometimes it may be without things and possessions, or maybe even your health, whatever. But Paul says you can still have joy. It doesn't matter. You can still have joy. Verse 22, he says this. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I can't tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh, that's more necessary on your account. Verse 25. He says, convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and I'll continue with you all for the progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get into our study this morning. Tim Bongiorno, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. So let's get into it verse by verse, word by word. Look at verse 22. He says this, for if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. So I know the flesh sometimes is the sinful nature or, you know, we see that in Galatians 5 and the flesh is a sinful aspect. But he's just talking about the body which is made up of flesh. To be alive in this body, in my flesh. That's all he's talking about. To be alive and still remain. And he says, if I do that, if I'm alive, if God gets me out of prison, he goes, I'm going to have fruitful labor. So in verse 18, he says he wanted to see Christ preached. So fruitful labor, bearing fruit, is accomplished for Jesus. It's anything that you do for Jesus. Things that are produced for the kingdom. One commentator said it was spiritual results. And so in Romans 1:13, the NASB says it this way. He says, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I've often planned to come to you. I've been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you, as also as among the rest of the Gentiles. Everywhere Paul went, he wanted to bear fruit. He wanted to have a spiritual result. He wanted to do something for the kingdom. He wanted to see people saved. He wanted to see people discipled. He wanted to see people trained up to go do the same thing. That's what we do. We train people in the word. We disciple people, and we train them up to go do the same thing we've done for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says, we don't just give them the gospel. We pour our lives into them. Where is it that we're pouring our lives into people? We're pouring ourselves into our own lives, not into others' lives for the kingdom. And so Paul had a heart for people. They were going to work. They were going to bear fruit for Christ if he was allowed to stay in the flesh. Listen, if you still have breath, you have somebody you can work for. And that person is Jesus, right? He saved us to go work for him. Ephesians chapter 2. By grace you are saved through faith, not of works, right? Lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. When do those good works stop? Well, they stop when I retire, Danny, because I'm done. Oh, I'm sorry, there's no retirement in ministry. Amen? So you do good works for the kingdom until Jesus comes to get you or calls you home. That should be our purpose, man. I think we've forgotten. If you have breath, you have Jesus you can labor for. In Psalm chapter 71, verse 17, the psalmist says this. He says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, I'm old now, but let me stay around a little longer. Let me stick around because I want to declare your power, your strength, your provision, your help. I want to proclaim your awesomeness to everybody who is coming in after us. In Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18, Isaiah says this. He says, for hell does not thank you. You get no thanks in hell. Death does not praise God. Those who go down to the pit, they don't hope for God's faithfulness. It's only those who are alive. Isaiah says, man, if you want the next generations to learn to praise you, to know you, we can't do that if we're dead. Dead men tell no tales. Amen? So while you have breath, we need to be telling people about Jesus, the goodness of God, the gracious of God, the provision of God, the help of God, the salvation of God. Amen? Amen. And that's what Paul was saying. In verse 22, he says, if I'm to live in the flesh, he goes, that means I get fruitful labor for me. I'm going to work for Jesus. That's awesome. But he says, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. He goes, I have a choice to make. And I don't know, both of these choices are kind of hard. He goes, to go be with Jesus, that's awesome. But listen, this is not a good and bad choice. Like, oh, to go here, this is good, and this one, it's okay. Or this is good, and this one's bad. Both choices were great. That's what he's saying. He goes, I'm hard pressed between these two choices, verse 23. And that's what he starts out with. I don't know which one to choose. If it was up to me, I don't know which one to choose. He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. It's far better. Now, I love this verse because this is one of them. There's many. But this is one of the best verses that talk about departure, that when we die, the word depart just means death. There's some euphemisms for death, sleep and depart and different things like that. But when we die, our soul is immediately translated into the presence of God. Amen? Amen? I love that. If you are saved, if you are saved, your soul goes immediately into the presence of Jesus. The problem is that the Bible does not talk about any such thing as soul sleep. There is no such thing as soul sleep. And there is no such thing as a waiting place. The Bible nowhere refers to anything related to a purgatory. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The choice you make in this life for Jesus Christ to accept or reject him, the moment death comes to call upon you, you have no more opportunity. Whatever you have chosen, that's your eternal reward or punishment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, Paul says, so we're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, while I'm still alive in the flesh, if I'm still here, I'm away from Jesus. But he said, yes, we're of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body, because if you're away from the body, you're going to be at home with the Lord. I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. And Paul says that's far better. He says, for certainty, as soon as death comes to call upon us, our bodies may go down to the grave, our bodies may go to sleep, so to speak, but our soul is going to be in the direct presence of Jesus Christ. And that's where we want to be. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 7, verse 59 to 60, when Stephen was being stoned, It says, as they were stoning Stephen, he called out and he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, don't lay this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh, see, right there it says he fell asleep. No, it says that his body fell asleep. They stoned him and his body died. But his soul went directly, his soul, which is alive, when God breathed into Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living what? Soul. That's right. So whether you're a dichotomy or trichotomy, it's irrelevant. Your soul and spirit go directly to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen? Upon death. That's great. To be alive, you be with Jesus. If you're not, or if you're departed, you be with Jesus. If you're alive, you're giving God glory. You're working for him. It doesn't matter. It's all about Jesus. To be with Jesus is good, but Paul says, man, to stay here is just as equal. Look at verse 24. And I want you to get this because I don't think a lot of people really understand this. He says in verse 23, to go be with Jesus is far better for me personally because I have my full reward. I'm going to be with Jesus forever. He says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and there we shall be with him forever. Okay, that's far better for me personally. But here's the other thing that was so amazing for Paul to stick around. He said, I got two options, and I can't choose because they're both great options. And this is the second one. He says, but the first one is to go be with Jesus. Man, I can't choose whether that one or this one. To remain in the flesh, to still be alive in this body is more necessary on your account. Isn't that awesome? Listen, so many people just want to go be with Jesus. And that could be far better. I think in some cases, we want to go be with Jesus so much that we do, I don't know how to say it, maybe a slow type of suicide. Because some people just give up. Some people just give up in life. And they're like, go be with Jesus, that's far better. That's what Paul said. Yeah, but what about still being around? What about your influence and impact on somebody else's life? Well, my health is no good. I'm old. I've done all that stuff in my youth. And it doesn't matter. Listen, I want to be here to help disciple my wife. I want to be here to help disciple my daughter, her future husband. I'm praying for her future husband, whoever that may be right now. I'm praying for grandkids. I'm praying for other people's. I'm praying for Mission Point 20 years down the road, and I'm hoping I'm not going to be here. Because to be with Jesus is good. Oh, darn. But to be here with you, it's going to be more important. And I can't tell which one. I'd rather go be with Jesus, but man, I love being here too. I love preaching. I love teaching. I love training people up. It's my excitement. I love it. It gives me joy, man. Go be with Jesus. Oh, that's going to be great. To be here and do what I love, that's great too. Amen? I think we lose our focus when we get saved and we're like, oh, people are hard-pressed between two things, not Christ and training the church. Most of the time, it's Christ and my money, and Christ and our possessions, and Christ and our retirement, and Christ and my health. And man, if you have anything else besides Christ and training his church up, you're going to have disappointment. Because when your money fails you, then what are you going to have? Well, I guess Jesus better give me some more. Well, if he doesn't, then what? I lost all my possessions. They got destroyed. They burned up in a fire. I don't know what happened. Well, then what? And if it isn't Christ and his church, man, Paul was willing to die for Christ's church. Are we willing to do that? He prayed for his church. He served his church. He went to prison for Christ's church. He loved it so much, he wanted to see it strengthened and built up. Most of the time people pray, Lord, Just keep me around because I got this awesome vacation planned and I can't wait to do it. God, keep me around because, man, I'm getting about that age where I can retire. Take ease, live it up, man. Thanks, God, for retirement. But what about God? I'm praying for next Sunday. I want 20 people sitting on, well, this side over here. I'm just, and board members, deacons and trustees, you and your family and all your friends and everybody, I want you on this side over here. Bible says obey those that have rule over you. So, you'll see next Sunday how obedient they are to me. I'm just kidding. But when's the last time we prayed for the church? I mean, prayed for the church. When's the last time we flooded this place? Man, we have eliminated so much trash and garbage. And you know what that means? That means we got more room for people now. And we've got some new things coming around. And we've got some stuff that's been old and broke down and just breaking away. And guess what? We've got some live vibrance coming in. We've got families with younger kids, and we've got new people, and we've got visitors, and we've got all kinds of stuff. Guess what? God is on the move here at Mission Point. When's the last time you prayed for you to be a part of it? When's the last time you prayed for you to disciple some new family coming in? When's the last time you prayed for God to use you to train these folks coming up? When's the last time you prayed that God could use you to disciple somebody? When's the last time you witnessed to somebody to get them to be saved, to accept the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? All right, Danny, we just bring them in there. We just send them to you. That's your job. No, it's not. It's not my job. It's not your job. It's not his job or her job. It's our job. It's all of our jobs. Have we forgot that we are the church? You know, in Ephesians, Paul says, we are the body, right? And he says, not one part of the body is more important than the other. If I'm a part of the body, so are you. And if I'm important, you're just as important as I am. Amen? I'm like the big toe. You know, you can't walk if you don't have a big toe. Well, you can't walk if you don't have a leg and a knee. Oh, that's it. I'm the knee replacement. Jeez, there you go. Thanks, Lord, for reminding me of that one. But here's the idea. Do you realize your life impacts people in some way or another? Whether positive or negative, doesn't matter. Your life is going to impact people in a good or bad way. And if you are, man, if you are in Christ, it should be in a positive influence. And you need to stick around a little bit for the sake of Christ's church. We're here to build up Christ's church. There are people who need mentored. There are kids who need discipline or discipled. Well, they probably need discipline too, but you may not want to. Don't discipline somebody else's child, even though they may need it, but oh, good Lord. We need people who can train pastors up in English. We need people that can mentor other people. We need people that can disciple people. We need people that are going to be a good, positive influence. We need people that are going to pray for one another. We need people that are going to encourage one another. Man, listen, can I tell you something? Paul says in Ephesians, this is why Jesus Christ died, to give his church, not the pastor, the church, gifts so that everybody can do their part. This ain't no one-man show. Amen? This ain't no one-man show. And if you expect me to do it all, you're going to have grave disappointment. I need help. I need everybody's help. Every single person that's a member of Mission Point, and if you've been here longer than 5 years, I need your help too. Listen, we all do our part. If you've been saved longer than 6 months, you hopefully have recognized your gift in the Holy Spirit and needed to use it for God's glory. Jesus needs to get glory in your life. If you've not been discipled, you need to be discipled. If you've not been mentored, you need to be mentored. If you're not having any encouragement, man, let me tell you, there are people out there that needs this type of encouragement, and it's our job to do it. It's our job to help. It's our job to be there for people. Verse 25, look, Paul says, he was convinced of this. He says, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for the progress and joy in the faith. To stick around for the church was so important for Paul. He thought he was going to continue to train them up And so that would be for their progress. Progress is simply spiritual growth. We need to be growing. Peter even says the same thing. He says that you grow by the scriptures, and when you grow, like Paul's letters, some of that stuff's hard to understand. But he said that's how we grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, he says this. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take heed that you're not carried away with the error of the lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen? Paul wanted them to progress. We have to progress. We've got to have good progress. And that's not in the English, but in the Greek, it's kind of a weird phrase because it's the Greek word prokope. And it means, it's actually a military term, I would say it's an army term for me. But it means to blaze a trail for an army, to blaze a trail for an army. And somebody would go ahead of the army and they would cut down all the trees and they would take out all the rocks and they would remove any obstacles or anything they could so that the army could just march straight on to victory. And that's what we need. That's what he was hoping. He was like, look, to go home, to be with Jesus, that's great. But I want to stick around here because I'm going to blaze the way for the church to go on to victory, to march on for victory. You are a soldier. If you're in Christ, you're a soldier in the Christian army. Amen? Amen. And man, as a soldier, you got to fight. And guess what? We need people to come in front of us and blaze the way so that we can move on to victory. Oh, man, I love that phrase. That's so awesome. Oh, victory. Isn't that page 353? Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. Paul knew the more you grow, the more joy you will have in your faith. Do you know that? The more you grow, the more joy you're going to have in your faith. If you're growing in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ, you're going to have more joy. You're going to experience more joy in your faith. Well, how do I grow in my faith? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. That's old King James. This is ESV, says the word of Christ. They're both the same because God is God, Christ is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? All three in one. There it is. The word of Christ, the word of God. You grow by hearing the word of God. That's why I said Colossians 3:16, you got to be saturated with the word of God. I can't stress it enough. Peter says, grow in knowledge and grace of Jesus. And so when you come to that, to him be the glory. And that's what Paul finishes up with in verse 26. Look there. He says, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ because of my coming to you again. Now, in our English, Paul says that, so that in me, he's like, in me you're going to have ample cause. But in the Greek, the sentence structure is a little different. Actually, Christ is first. And I point that out because Christ should always be first. Amen? Amen. And so that's kind of what he's saying. He says, it should be something like this. Your proud confidence. And that's what the word glory is. It's pride. God resists the proud. You can't be proud. Yes, you can, as long as it's in the Lord. Amen? Amen? As long as your glory is in the Lord, you can be proud in God. Amen? He's done some wondrous things. He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can expect or ask. He's awesome. And so, yes, we can have pride in our God because that's not a sin. Now, if it's in yourself, that's different. So Paul says, your proud confidence is going to abound in Christ Jesus. Because I'm teaching you about him. Because you're growing about him. Because you're learning about him through me. God's going to get the glory. And that's what we want to do. Paul says, I've come here so that your joy can be increased. Your confidence can grow in the Lord Jesus. And when you do that, he'll be glorified. And he's going to work in through both of us. It's all working out for Paul. To live in the flesh, Jesus was going to get the glory. The church was going to grow. And they were going to glorify God. And that was going to give them joy in their faith. Because Christ is getting glorified. That's the whole purpose of a Christian, is to give God glory. Amen? Amen. And when you grow in knowledge and grace so that you can produce good works for God, it'll give you joy. It'll give you joy. When's the last time you done something for Jesus? Amen? So God gave him a few more years. He said he was confident. He knew it. God did. I think it was either two or three more years after this imprisonment where God allowed him to produce more fruit for the kingdom. And he did. He went right back out and produced more fruit. And then he got caught and lost his head. Oh, well, he was martyred, but he knew that even if he was martyred, the gospel would still get out also. People would put the gospel out because of it. And so to die to be with Christ, that's good, but to live to serve Christ, it didn't matter. Either way, Paul said, as long as Christ is preached, as long as he is exalted, as long as Christ is honored, as long as he is glorified, as long as the church is built up, trained, as long as they're receiving joy because they're growing, that's all that matters. Paul sets an awesome example for us. On one end of the spectrum, listen to this. On one end of the spectrum, Paul wanted to lose his salvation so other people could come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Do you love lost people enough that you would want your salvation to be gone so that you could die and burn in hell so that 100,000 other people could be saved? Do you love them enough, lost people, to say that? Paul did. And guess what? On the other end of the spectrum, he said, man, I'm willing not to go to heaven because I know I can train you up some more to see more people get saved, get discipled, and have joy in your faith so that God gets the glory. On one end, he wanted to die and go to hell. On the other end, he said, I'm willing not to go to heaven to be with Jesus so that the church could be trained up so that Jesus gets the glory. We need more examples like that. We need more mentors. We need more teachers. We need more people blazing the way for other people to move forward and spiritually grow. I want that to be our example as we think about moving in a lost and dying world. We need to be the ones blazing the way so that the ones behind us can march on to victory. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for our time this morning. God, we just pray. Time is running out. And it doesn't matter whether you're coming back tomorrow, next year, next 2,000 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether I have breath today, tomorrow, or another 40 years. It doesn't matter. In every moment, we need to do what's best to give you glory, to joy in the life you have given us. I think, Lord, we live in destruction and defeat and negativity more than we do in victory and joy and happiness in you. If we've got you, Lord Jesus, that's all we need. And so may more people enjoy you in this life. So, Father, as we give this invitation, I pray that you just have your way. I pray for someone here this morning. Maybe they've never made a commitment to Jesus. Maybe they've never confessed their sinfulness to him and asked him to come into their life and be their Lord and Savior. Let today be the day of salvation. Maybe it's for the church. Maybe somebody's never recognized their gifts of the Spirit and they've never used anything to give you glory to be part of the body. When one part hurts, the whole body hurts. When one part isn't doing what they're supposed to, the whole body is hindered. We need people to step up and keep moving forward. Whatever the need this morning, God, I pray that your Spirit would just prick their heart. Let them come forward. Leave it all at the foot of the altar. Your word says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. We have a God that cares for every individual need you have. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.